Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. This chapter, to me, it appears to be in four parts. And the last time I saw the bishop, I went over the first part. And he was getting happy in the pew and said, "I'm glad you preached the first part, but the second part's the one I'm looking for." Where God raises the woman's son from the dead. She acting in great faith, saying, "It shall be well," after laying her son dead down in the prophet's bed. Well, I've already preached that one. I guess you missed out. But if you come to the tape table later, you got $10, you know. No, the truth is, everything that I preach is free. I don't charge for my messages. I don't charge for the things that I write. Maybe if I write a real book, I may charge for that. But any kind of sermon or pamphlet or anything that I have is all free. You can go to joeykelly.net. You can click the link that says radio show. And everything that I put on the radio, and a number of sermons that I preached here ended up on the radio. Everything that I have, you can listen to. But 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 38. "And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot," or put it on the stove and etc. Set it to boiling. "Set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets," some kind of stew or something. "And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them or cut them up into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass that as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof." It was making them sick or something, I don't know. They knew it was not good, not fit for human consumption. But he said, "Then bring meal." And he cast it into the pot. And they said, "Pour out for the people, that they may eat." And there was no harm in the pot. Heavenly Father, once again, I stand behind your sacred desk. And once again, I know my inadequacy. I know at best I'm a braying mule, but your word says you have a habit of using farm animals to preach the gospel. The mule, the crow, etc. Please help me. I believe that you have a message for us today. Please help me to get it across. And please, by your Spirit, do what no man can do. Touch the heart. Minister to the heart. encourage the people in their hearts and convict them that this is the Word of God, that this is your Word from heaven, and that it will help them. Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. It's an interesting story. And many will read this and say, well, it's an interesting story. It's just a story in the Bible. The Bible's full of neat stories. It's good. It's interesting. But that was a long time ago, and we don't really understand, and whatever, and it's not relevant, and etc., and etc. You know, the story of the prophet and the big fish, and the Red Sea being open, and you know, we understand. We live in the 21st century. We understand. These are just allegories and what have you. Not really relevant. Well, some might say that. But I believe that this is the God-breathed message from heaven. God inspired this, moved upon the hearts and minds of those ministers, prophets, what have you, apostles in the New Testament. They wrote what God inspired them. I've been trying to preach of God's deliverance. I believe that if you have a problem, that you should turn to God. Now, we have medicines, we have science, we have technology, we have a lot of different things, and a lot of those things are great. If you have some sort of certain types of cancer, they can cut it out and you're good for the rest of your life. You have an eye problem, they can treat you with lasers and what have you.
Yes.
They can do a lot of things. And we say medical miracle. I don't think it's a miracle, but I tell you what, some of the things they do are almost like a miracle. Yes. It's incredible what they can do. And thank God for science.
Yes.
Thank God for the medical profession. Thank God for technology. I'm glad I have air conditioning. Mm-hmm. 100-something years ago, our forefathers living here in South Louisiana, we sweated something awful. Thank God for technology. But you see, the Bible does not claim to be a book about technology or science or medicine or engineering. There's some things that you can read and you get an idea that, well, they had the right idea back then. But the problems man faces today, not problems with cell phone like I had a bit ago trying to get the message for today. I had it on computer and then forgot the printout at home and had to get it on my cell phone. Man's problem today, we may fight with technology, but our problem is not technology. They didn't have technology 3,500 years ago, or whenever this was written that we're reading today. It didn't exist. They had chariots and maybe crude pulley systems or something like that. Just minimalistic technology. The problems then are the same problems today. It's the problem of the heart.
Yes.
It's the problem of the heart. Today we have drug addicts. Well, maybe they didn't have drugs back then, but the Word of God talks about drunkenness. Maybe change the substance a little bit, but the problem is still addiction. And in a wasted life due to some sort of chemical thing that is ingested somehow. The problem is the same. Rebellious children? Well, we have that now. We had that back then. Adultery? We have that now. We had that back then. You understand the problems that we have are problems in the human soul, the heart, and not technology. So the Bible is 100% relevant. This book that I hold in my hands matters today. doesn't mean, it doesn't matter that the last one that lifted his pen from the paper and said, okay, I'm finished, that's what God had me to say, that was 2,000 years ago. Well, yeah, but the ink is essentially still wet because it's still relevant today. It's still just as fresh today in 2011 as it was in AD 60 or 70 or 90 or whenever the last apostle said, okay, I'm done. It's relevant for today. But it says that Elisha came again to Gilgal. And we said before, a few weeks ago, that Gilgal meant rolled away. And I had gone into the history of it, but it references Calvary. It references the great work that was done on the cross of Calvary. And again, it was in type and foreshadow. But Gilgal also talks about sanctification. We're saved the moment we say, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I accept you as my Savior. And Lord, forgive all my sins. When we say the sinner's prayer or something, whatever terminology you understand, okay, fine, you're in Christ, you're saved. If you walk out of church and get hit by a bus, you're on your way to heaven. Or if you live another 70, 80 years and get to heaven after you die. The point is, when you are in Christ, you're in Christ, and that's that. But then there's a process that God does in your heart. You say yes to the Lord, boom, you're a new Christian. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But then you have to learn how to live the Christian life. You are in Christ. You're a Christian. But you need to be taught by reading the Bible yourself. Whoever thought of doing that? Or going to Sunday school. Or coming to church. Or maybe listening to some evangelist on the radio. Or perhaps maybe on television. But you need to learn the Word of God. And God changes your heart. Yes. And God changes your mind. I don't want to talk about politics, but I was a certain bent, if you will. I believed a certain way politically. And then I began to read the Word of God over a period of years, sit in Sunday school, be taught what have you from behind the pulpit. And then I began to realize that some of my ideas were wrong. God changes your mind. I used to think certain things were okay, and now I understand certain things are just not okay. I know that the moment I got saved, I told my testimony here, but I knew that my sins were forgiven. I knew that the Lord had come into my heart. And within just a couple of minutes, I realized I don't have to smoke no more dope.
Amen.
I don't have to hang out in no more bars. I knew that I was free. I knew that it just wasn't for me anymore. So God changed my heart and my mind.
Yes.
We should study to show ourselves approved. We should master the Word of God.
Yes.
Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. David sinned. So I believe that the Word of God is relevant. But Gilgal talks of, okay, you're saved, now what? Let's change your heart, let's change your mind, let's change your ways. You know the word repent? We all know that we should repent of our sins. The word repent means if you're walking into sin, you stop, you turn around, and you walk the other way. It talks of a change of heart, a change of direction, a change of mind. And instead of enjoying sin and living in sin and looking forward to sinning on Friday night, God changes us. And we find ourselves looking forward to hearing the Word of God preached on Sunday morning.
Yes, amen.
Elisha came into Gilgal, but there was a dearth in the land. Dearth means famine. There's just not enough stuff to eat. We don't understand that here in America. But we've all seen on TV enough times in third world countries to know what suffering is about. there was a dearth in the land. And we understand this past weekend, we had a little hurricane. Not much of one, but it dumped a lot of rain. A couple of hundred miles away, Texas, they get 106 degree weather, wildfires, can't put them out, wish they had rain. Things happen. Weather happens. By the way, climate change does not happen. That's bad politics. But weather happens. Things happen. But sometimes God causes them to happen. I remember one of these prophets, I think it was Elijah, that God used him to pray that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. That's an obvious sign of God doing something with the weather. But sometimes things just happen. But one of the things, remember I said Gilgal has to do with a change of heart and a change of mind, a change of attitude, etc. One of the things that God will do is bring a dearth into our lives. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. And God intends for you and I to go through the wilderness. You see, when there's a dearth, or when there's not enough, or there's lack, or you just can't do it, or some kind of difficulty in life. And things happen, I understand, but God many times causes these things to happen. God's not being mean. But you see, suffering is part of the gospel. Suffering is part of the gospel. If certain preachers on TV say that suffering's not for today, or that it's all sunshine and roses, that you won't suffer, you won't have any bad times, they're lying. Straight up, they're lying. God intends that our hearts be changed. And often, quite often, I can testify again and again and again at different times in my life where I endured suffering. And it wasn't for a day or a week or a month or a year. Some of my sufferings lasted multiple years. And perhaps I'll go into detail about some of that, but I understand suffering. I understand hardship and lack. I understand not being able to get a job for years. I understand. But God uses suffering to change our hearts. Well, we know the way it should go. We understand that, well, I'm an American. I was perhaps raised in the right family. I live on the right side of town. Things should go one way. But God says, no, I don't think so. Because you see, we're used to thinking in humanistic terms. We know human wisdom, we know common sense perhaps, or the way that we were raised, our tradition, our culture. But God says, I have my own tradition, I have my own culture, and I have my own ways. You see, if you're going to follow Christ, you need to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him. Today, that's not a popular message, especially not on television. But denial of self. Not self-denial, that's about what we can do. But denial of self. It's a bit of a difference, maybe I'll explain it one time. But you see, if you go to the bookstores, even the Christian bookstores, it's all about how to improve self. How to do better by your own attempts, by your own power, by your own methods. How to improve self. Jesus said to deny self. A quick testimony. When I was in Haiti, one of the trips that I went, probably my second one, probably in February of 1994. God says to trust Him. God says to be thankful for what you have. God says all of these things, but then you get out there and you understand that He really means it. I remember a number of times during my various trips to Haiti that it was lunchtime and I was hungry. And there wasn't no food. And I had to ask the various pastors that I was with, hey, can we please stop and get something to eat? I'm hungry. Oh, you want to eat? Okay, let's go over here and eat. They didn't have it in their mind that it's lunchtime, it's time to eat. They had it in their mind that, well, I live in a suffering country, and if I eat good, if I don't, well, I'll eat tonight maybe. But it was 11, 12, 1 o'clock, and I'm hungry. And Lord, you called me to suffer, and I'm just going to suffer, but I'm hungry, and but I'll shut my mouth, but I'm hungry. And I just grumbled a little bit, and then finally I said, okay, I'll just wait for supper. 10 minutes later, they came with plates of food. What do you know? They're going to feed the preachers. I didn't expect it. I did not expect that they'd bring food. But they did. Well, if I'd have continued to grumble and grumble and grumble, the food would have gotten there. But you see, God taught me something. And I finally did surrender and say, okay, I'll just wait. It took an hour or so for me to get there. But finally, I said, I'll just wait. Again, God often brings difficulty in our lives because He wants us to go through the wilderness. He wants us to walk through the valley, if you will. If you're on the mountaintop, you can see for miles and it's great and the air is clean and all of that stuff. And you see way off there's another mountaintop. But to get there, you got to go through the valley. The normal place is not on the mountaintop. The normal place is in the valley. And we must learn to suffer. We must understand, here's another thing that's not talked about much in the church today. It's brokenness. What I mentioned just a bit ago about saying, okay, Lord, I'm hungry, it's lunchtime, but I'll just wait for supper. My will, my desires, my craving for food, my normal idea that, hey, it's time for food, I had to surrender that. And that's brokenness. It's a willing surrender. You can be crushed and overwhelmed by circumstances, and that's not brokenness. But when you willingly say, okay, Lord, I'll go this way, then you've learned something, and that's brokenness. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, set on the great pot, and seethe pottage, or make stew, or something, for the sons of the prophets. Time to eat. Verse 39, and one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds in his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, they cried out and said, O men of God, there is death in the pot. Death in the pot. It tasted bitter, it made them sick, or something, I don't know, but they knew that if they had continued to eat that, something bad would have happened. I don't know if they would have died, but it was just something bad in that pot. Whatever kind of mushroom or, I don't know what the guy picked up. It says a gourd, something that he found out in the field and said, it looks good, shiny. Let me shred it up and put it in the pot and stir and let's eat. But it says, for they knew them not. Well, we got vegetables, and we got turnips, and we got carrots, and we got potatoes, and we got this little mushroom thing. I don't know what it is. Let's throw that in, too. Didn't quite know what that was. Let's throw that in there, too. For they knew them not. And then they found that it was inedible. Would have made them sick, maybe even made them die. I don't know. But what does all that mean? The wild vine, I preached it before and I said that it was human wisdom and our own old ways, our old customs, traditions would have you. I heard another preacher said that it was false doctrine. But either way, it wasn't good. It wasn't edible. Right. It wasn't like a regular potato or carrot or whatever they found. It was something else that they didn't know, it says, for they knew them not. In other words, it wasn't scriptural. It wasn't biblical. The answer was, the prophet said, take meal, which is a preparation of flour, and throw it in the pot. And they stirred it up and dished it out, and it was fine. The pot was healed, to take from another miracle. You've got something in the stew that it'll make you sick. But the prophet said, take some flour, throw it in, stir it up, and what do you know? It's fine. That's a miracle.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.